The Five Leadership Questions podcast is brought to you by Lifeway Leadership. Try our free app, available on all mobile platforms, for daily leadership content, including blogs, webinars, and more. Visit myleadershippipeline.com/app or search Lifeway Leadership in your preferred app store. Now, enjoy the podcast.
Hey, and welcome to the Five Leadership Questions podcast. I am your host, Barnabas Piper. Todd is caffeinated. There he is. That's Todd Adkins, the director of leadership here at Lifeway. That's all right. You got a little Mountain Dew stuck in your throat.
That's true.
So he's drinking Diet Mountain Dew, fuel of champions or Todd.
I want listeners to know that most of the time that it seems like every time that we do a podcast, I'm getting really caffeinated, and that is not my normal choice of caffeination, but. On occasion, it's like the most caffeine you can get.
So we're doing the podcast today on what we're just calling quick hitters. So lessons that have been learned, resources we've been using. Caffeine is not on the list, but I think that's just because it kind of goes without saying. It's a staple leadership resource.
Jesus and caffeine.
That's right.
It's really gets you through the day.
The two things to start every day
two
with.
Two essentials.
So what we are going to do, it's just Todd and me on the podcast today. No guests, nobody else. We have to try to
just
pay attention to. This could be an utter train wreck.
it could
be amazing.
It could.
We have a broad breadth of possibilities.
What's really interesting about Barnabas and I is we're about 10 years apart, but we have the same Myers-Briggs and share three of the same StrengthsFinder. But we've lived those out in completely different ways.
Yes, decidedly different ways. And I'm sure that'll come out a little bit as we talk through these. So we are going to talk through, it's a series of pick one thing in different categories that we've discovered recently, learned from recently, et cetera. So are you ready, Todd?
Yes.
All right. So the first one that we are both going to answer each of these. So the first one.
I'll just ask you some random ones too. Sorry.
We'll see how that goes, but that's fine. All right. The first one is one thing you have read recently that stands out to you and why.
Okay. You know, I tweeted through a book this past weekend, Know Your Why, Ken Costa, great book. But the book that I'm reading like right now is
literally right now.
Literally
he has it
right
open
now,
in front of him.
Is one that Eric got for me yesterday. And so it's going to take, by the looks of it, it's going to take like 45 minutes. But it's Judge This by Chip Kidd. So you may or may not recognize him. He's a design guy. And so, you know, the old saying, you can't judge a book by its cover. Well, this guy gets lots of money to design covers for books and to design other things. So
yeah, this is a guy who New York publishing houses pay exorbitant fees to design a book cover. So he's among the best of the cover designers out there.
Well, because people will judge your book by its cover.
Yeah.
And the whole idea of the book is understanding that, you know, how important first impressions are, understanding the simplicity of design. He does a good job so far of comparing different things, but I'm not yet seeing a lot of how you actually do this better.
It's probably because when people are exceptional in their field, it's very hard for them to explain to the plebs among us
how to be
exceptional. You know, it's like Michael Jordan's angle. This is how to be good at basketball. Well, sorry, you're Michael Jordan, and I'm clearly not.
Yeah. Stick out your tongue.
And jump and dunk on people and win six titles in a row and be better than everyone else.
Yes. But now Chicago has another team.
That's right.
From my understanding.
Go Cubs, go.
All right.
Go Cubs, go. Hey, Chicago, what do you say? Cubs are going to win too. Sorry, go ahead.
Is this the first time you sang?
Probably.
I think so.
Which is funny because I'm not even a Cubs fan. The song is stuck in my head perpetually.
Well, you know, everybody's a Cubs fan right now.
That's right. Like. Except for Northern Ohio. They're in tears.
Boo-hoo. All right. So the cool thing about it, though, is it does encourage you. You're going to judge, but how do you judge? You know, give a little bit of empathy, compassion, so on and so forth. So far, the best thing is talking about when you need clarity and when you need mystery.
Ooh, yes.
Because
that's a helpful set tip because in design, it's always tricky to know when are you trying to allude to something and when are you trying to stick it right in front of somebody's face.
Yeah, because if you get those backwards, then people just walk.
Yeah, they're like,
away.
I don't even know what I'm looking at, or that's really obvious and dumb.
Good, good. Okay,
so that's
how about
called
you?
That is called Judge This by Chip Kidd, and it's a TED original. So it comes out of the whole TED Talks, TED Video series.
If you want a good,
do you think he designed
resource,
his own book cover?
Based on it. I think so.
Boy, if he didn't.
That's pretty bad.
Yeah, what's he even doing here?
So does he outsource that? No, I will say one more good resource for design is marvelapps.com.
Hmm.
And it will.
As in Marvel Comics?
No. It's just Marvel apps. Right. I don't understand it. But long story short there, they have a really good blog on design. So,
and just before I answer this question, a note to listeners, all of these resources that we talk about will be in the show notes. So lifeway.com/leadership, you will be able to, find them all, click through, purchase, whatever it is, you know, just go read them, whatever it is through there. So lifeway.com/leadership, check out the show notes to find all
book.
Of these. One book. You said three books. How come I only get
I
one?
Said three?
Well, you said you tweeted through that one and then you talked about this one and then you mentioned an app. So two books and a website, I guess. All right. The book that I have read recently is called Strong and Weak by Andy Crouch. Mm. Todd has not read it yet, I don't think.
I have not.
But it's based on a quadrant, Todd.
Oh.
That's not a selling point for most people, but Todd's eyes just shot wide open. No, so it's
Will come to know him through the quadrant.
That's right. Andy Crouch is one of my favorite authors. He's part of the reason for that is because he writes really thoughtful books and he's not prolific, so I can actually keep up with him. He's not doing four books a year. So I read his book Culture Making a few years ago. That was the one that sort of turned me on to his way of thinking and thinking about theology and culture and these different things. Strong and Weak is a really interesting one because it talks about how the necessity of vulnerability and the blend of power and weakness that are needed for effective leadership. And it looks at leadership in organization, in culture, in family, all these different things. And it's a short book. It's maybe 150 pages, but he takes this complex idea and just sort of fleshes it out. All
Who's
built.
The publisher?
That's a good question. It's a Christian book. I don't know.
We should be the publisher. That sounds like a great book.
It's fantastic. And then I'm currently reading one that he published before this one called Playing God. And so those are three Andy Crouch books, but Strong and Weak was the one that I finished that I loved. That it's a paradigm book, and those are the ones that I resonate most with. I'm not a lessons guy, per se, as much as like how a way to view things, a way to think about it, and that's what he presents in it. So definitely go check that one out, listeners. Strong and Weak by Andy Crouch. All right, Todd, are you ready for the next one?
I think so.
You think so? All right. What is one thing you have listened to recently or you are listening to? Could be if it's like an audio book or podcast or a song that made your heart swell with joy or something. What is a thing you are listening to or have listened to?
Okay. It's hard for me to say just one, so it may be more than one again. Just did three books and I didn't yell at you.
I picked one author, though. That's kind of the same thing.
That's the same. Okay. So... in the fall, we had Pipeline Conference, and Cortland Urbano was the DJ at the conference.
Excellent.
And so after that, I'm like, holy cow, I got to listen to this guy. And he has been the soundtrack of my life more recently.
He's fantastic.
There's a lot of instrumental.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just really... It's really cool.
And it's super chill, real rhythmic. If you go to humblebeast.com, you can download any of pretty much any of Cortland's stuff for free, I think. He's part also of a trio called Beautiful Eulogy with Thomas Terry, who goes by Odd Thomas, and then a guy named Brian something or other. Who goes by Braille. I only know his stage name, but they're sort of a hip hop trio. Cortland's the DJ, but it's all super low key, very lyrical and rhythmic. It's not, it's not like Lecrae and Triple E hip hop. It's much more, it's almost more spoken word with sort of a melodic undertone. It's really cool.
Backpack hip hop.
Is that what he called it?
Mm-hmm.
Backpacker hip hop.
Backpack hip-hop.
That's right. So we have we recorded an episode with Thomas Terry, who owns and runs the Humble Beast record label, and that'll be airing in early 2017. But we talked to him a little bit about
mystery
it.
Mystery right there.
Teasing it.
And you did clarity and mystery.
Yeah, look at that. So my turn to answer.
I do have one more.
Oh, all right.
That
go ahead.
I think is cool and that other people should do. So I have voice memos of my children, of course, on my phone, but also of grandparents. So grandparent was, he turns like 98 this month, and he was in World War II. So every time I'm around him and we're by ourselves, I just start asking him questions about World War II.
You just hit record on the phone and let him
secretly
tape
it.
That's awesome. My aunt and my mom did that with their mom a while ago, where they were looking through like old photo albums and they just pulled out a recorder and she just started telling stories about World War II era. Oh, that was when we moved here, and that was when, you know, all these things. It's really cool.
He ran a train yard in Germany, so he's
got
some great stories.
Yeah. All right. I have been listening to, I'm an avid podcast listener. Although, ironically, not very many Christian podcasts or very many leadership podcasts. I don't want to have our style and influence soiled by the way other people do things. So I try to keep it clean. That's my excuse. Two podcasts that I've been enjoying recently. One is the Jonah Carey podcast. It's part of the Nerdist Network. So Jonah Carey he wrote for Grantland for a while. He's a sports writer, as well as he used to write finance, and cover Wall Street, things like that. So he tends to take sort of a pseudo nerdy statistical look at things, but he loves comedy, loves sports. So he's had on baseball broadcasters and comedians and professional athletes and actors. And the thing that it's just sort of a free-flowing conversation, but it tends to get into how people got to where they are. And I'm always fascinated by those stories because it's usually people who are pretty good in their field or have overcome a lot. And so a lot of things there about a consistent theme of basically people paying their dues. So a guy who's a national baseball and basketball broadcaster now, and how he started out at like a tiny little radio station in Northern Ontario, Canada. And just sort of those kinds of things. So paying your dues, patiently working on being excellent, putting in the hours, those kinds of things. So that was one. And it's a fun podcast. Jonah's a real engaging sort of kinetic personality. And then the other one is called 99% Invisible, which is it's a podcast about design. So the design of life. So they talk about architecture. They talk about sound design. They talk about historical design. Sometimes they go focus on a particular building or all these different things.
I'm scared to listen to one episode of that because I know
you'll get hooked.
Oh, for sure.
They did one of their most popular ones was on flag design. So on what makes a good city or state flag. And so they ripped apart some and what I mean, it, but it's there.
There's a weird word that's like the study of flags or something.
There is. I don't know what it is. It's right next to stamp collecting in the and then the weirdo category. But the guy who hosts is a guy named Roman Mars. He also has a TED Talk. And so if you're really interested in the Chip Kidd book that Todd mentioned earlier, you would like the Roman Mars TED Talk because I think he actually talks about flag design. He's super low key West Coast. Very interesting. So 99% Invisible is that one. And then the Jonah Carey podcast. So I would check either of those out.
Okay. I Googled it. It's a vex. Theology is the scientific study of the history, symbolism, and usage of flags.
Good story.
And then I found $5.
That's right. And then we move to our next question. All right, Todd, what is one tool or resource that you have discovered recently and started using?
Two that go together. One is a website called Colorbox.
Mm-hmm.
And Colorbox, it's spelled like the European way, like an O-U-R.
Yeah.
And then
Colorbox.
And then PictoChart, which is P-I-K-T-O.
Oh, yeah. You showed me that chart. One. That's pretty cool.
It's pretty cool. So what it does, it, I mean, there's some designers out there that probably hate my guts right now. because
they overprice their services.
Maybe. But this will be, it's really, really handy for normal people.
Yeah.
If you want to build an infographic or even posters or advertising or whatever, because you don't have to know all the InDesign and blah, blah, blah.
Well, because design is something that falls outside most of our skill set. Yeah. And, but we sometimes we just want sort of a quick and clean design.
Oh, yeah.
And that's what they do. You show me some of the ones. I mean, it's templated.
It's templated,
but it's clean and sharp and it looks good. Yeah.
So you can find something that looks similar to what you're.
And it's all infographic stuff, right? Basically.
It's infographic posters and ads.
Oh, there's a lot of options.
You can use it for multiple things. I was particularly interested in it for infographics because I can't seem to find anybody that does good infographics for less than the price of a car.
Yeah. Well, for me, there are two, and one of them is exceptionally obvious. At least it should have been obvious to me. And I started using Google calendars on my phone. You know, we use the Google. No, because I always, well, you probably use the iCal, the built-in iPhone calendar, right?
I don't know what I use.
So if you show me your calendar, the iPhone comes with a calendar and it's a pretty functional calendar, but
Is it this one?
No, that's the Apple one. I use the Google one, and because it allows me to integrate I have multiple calendars that I use for different things. So for writing and then for a personal calendar and then work calendar, and it can feed them all into one. And it's typical of Google. It's very it works across all devices. It updates well. So I just started using that, and it helped me coordinate those things easier. I'm sure somebody who loves iCal will be like, it can do the same thing. But I found it to be more cumbersome. So that was one. And then the other is a tool that is called Digit. It is an automated savings thing. So you link it to your checking account. And you can save, you can set it to save more aggressively or less aggressively. You can manage it all by text message. Mm-hmm. So you can save manually, be like, hey, move $100 to savings, and it'll move it over for you. But it will periodically pull $5 or $100 or whatever out of your checking account, depending on how you've set it up. So if you are somebody like me who does not do a very good job of intentionally setting aside money for a rainy day or for whatever, you can do it. It's not advanced. It's a very easy way to save you from yourself. And so that they've, you know, real simple to use app and then a real clean website. It kind of looks like it's designed by the people who did Square and Square Cash and whatever. It has a similar feel to it. So it's called Digit. I'll drop a link for that into the show notes as well. But that's something that I've been using for a little while. Super handy.
Square Cash is dope when it works.
Yeah. Square Cash is great for sending money from one person to another. It's like Venmo, except cleaner and easier. So that's another good one. Todd, let's talk a little bit about our sponsor for the Five Leadership Questions podcast.
Let's do.
Our sponsor is Southeastern Baptist Theological Seminary, SEBTS. We have partnered with them as Lifeway on a lot of different things, from publication to events. We have a number of their graduates who work here. You are considering doing doctoral work there yourself.
Yes, I am.
So, Todd, tell me a little bit about what are some of the key things that stand out to you about Southeastern as a leadership development and training institution?
Okay, so I would say the first thing is their balance of theology and practical ministry is on point.
Yes.
I would say they are very passionate about their Great Commission, and it's not just a passion, it's something that they live out, and it's something that they structure themselves to be able to give people tracks to run on and actually accomplish that. Mm-hmm. And one of the greatest ways to see that is actually go on Twitter and search for the hashtag I am going, and you'll see hundreds of pictures of people that are going.
Yes.
And where they're going to fulfill the Great Commission.
Yeah, Great Commission and going are big points of emphasis for Southeastern. That is what they seek to do, is equip pastors, theologians, scholars, missionaries, people who are serving as lay leaders in their church. You can do that via distance education, or you can go to their beautiful campus in Wake Forest, North Carolina. Either one is an option. They offer multiple degree programs. All of their MDiv and master's programs are between 80 and 85 credit hours. So that's a condensed program from the traditional. That means you can get it done sooner, or you can do it alongside a job if you're already in ministry, things like that. To learn more, go to sebts.edu/5LQ. That's SEBTS, stands for Southeastern Baptist Theological Seminary, sebts.edu/5LQ. And if you're considering applying, be sure to use the code 5LQ, not hard to remember, 5LQ, to get a discount on your application. So that could be for master's. They also have an undergrad program on campus there. So 5LQ is a discount that will get, is a code to get you a discount on your application. We appreciate Southeastern's support. Now back to the podcast. Should we hit our fourth?
Sure.
All right, we about to name drop a little bit. Here we go. Who is one person who has influenced you recently or you have learned from recently?
This is going to sound...
And if you say Jesus, so help me.
No, I'm not going to say Jesus.
I'm kicking you out of Sunday school.
I'm going to say my son.
No, that's great. Most of the time, we don't think about learning from young children.
Well,
and of course, your son's smarter than both of us. So.
He is. So he started reading. He started reading the Bible like a month and a half ago, and he is in. Oh man, he's in Jeremiah somewhere in Jeremiah.
Do you have some interesting questions in Leviticus?
He somehow just glazes because I've been there beside him when he was reading some of this stuff, and I'm like, do you have any questions about that? Nope. But he'll correct me because Eric and I were having a conversation after Eric and I are actually in the same small group.
As Eric Geiger, for those of you who maybe are new listeners and haven't heard the episodes with him, he's the VP over our division and also the pastor of the church that Todd attends, and apparently in the same small group.
Yeah. So he and I,
you guys are buddies,
have a lengthy discussion about the Nephilim because it was in the study. It was mentioned.
What? Okay.
And
so
there's somebody else leading it.
Time out. How do you have a lengthy discussion about something of which there is maybe seven words mentioned in scripture?
Because
crazy people are fascinated by it.
Well, no, because, he wanted to dismiss it and I wouldn't let it go.
So you're the crazy people.
I'm the crazy people. Because yeah, you can't just whisk this away. There are smart people on both sides of the argument that believe, some would say, hey, they're just giants. And some would say, no, they were hybrids of...
Can I brush this away?
You can brush this away.
Okay. Well, let's brush it. So son corrected you about something.
He corrected me because I'm driving out of the parking lot and I see Geiger and I roll down and I was like, something about Nephilim and Sasquatch. And James says, oh, I know the Nephilim. They were giants and before Noah. And I'm like, okay, I guess.
Seven-year-old said so. I'm done. Scholars, take notes.
No, but I mean, just the... The types of questions he asks, the conversations that we have, and he's seven, it's very humbling. Mm-hmm. It's very, man, it just reminds you that, you know, the biggest job that I have from a leadership development standpoint is my kids. And, I've got a lot of work to do on myself in order to be a good example and all that to them.
No, I hear you. Kids are...
Conviction.
Yeah, if you ever get proud of yourself, go hang out with your own kids for a day and they will remind you of all the things that you still need to work on and also make you feel amazing, but they do both.
But you're also reminded of things that you see yourself in them.
Both good and bad.
Both good and bad. And you go, oh, am I upset with them because of something they did it reminds me of myself?
So I have a daughter who will be turning 11 right around the time this airs. And when I argue with her, I am arguing with me. And I have never wanted to punch myself in the mouth so much as when I hear myself coming out of her mouth. And it's just like...
And you can send letters to Barnabas Piper... Because
I just realized I'm like, those are my faults that she is exhibiting right there. It's not even fair to be mad at her. That was me.
Well,
right?
you begin to say, oh, that's why I say stuff that my parents said. And, you know, I catch myself doing that all the time. Yeah. My dad used to say, think, boy.
And you say that to your kids.
I'm like, think? What are you doing?
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know if my parents used the phrase use your brain, but but I say that to my kids a lot. Okay. So a person who has influenced me recently, this is a tough one for me because I actually intentionally don't focus on individual people very much in terms of like, you know, there are people who are like, I try to learn everything I can from that person. And that's a strength and a weakness for me because it means I don't idolize people very much, but it also means I don't learn everything I could from people and I don't, you know, seek out mentorship and things like that very easily. So I learn a lot from people, but it's usually like I learned that lesson from that person or this piece of that conversation. There's not a person who stands out to me. But so the answer I will give on this is that I have noticed more and more recently begun taking notice of high profile leaders who do really humble things, because the opposite is very often true and is very annoying and frustrating and disappointing. So, for example, when we hosted the Pipeline Conference and we had speakers here, there was two or three of them who were they were all very nice, but there was two or three especially who were just sort of in the green room, very accessible, conversational, easygoing, and just didn't big time anybody.
No.
Some of them were just sort of out in the crowd between them. I mean, so those kinds of things stand out to me because they didn't act as if they were anything special. They had an opportunity to speak, and that was why they were there. But then they were no different or better than any of the attendees. That stood out to me because that's not a thing that everybody does.
Or our production guys, which I greatly appreciate. You know,
the people who can easily be invisible at an event, even though they are essential.
And they have headphones on.
Yeah.
And, you know, still engaging with those guys.
And then I had a conversation since you brought family into it, I will as well. I had a conversation recently with my dad on the phone. We were just talking. So, you know, my dad was a pastor of a church, the same church for 33 years, and then retired, but they still attend there. And we were just talking about life, what's been going on. And he was like, well, your mom and I recently went and we volunteered. They do a date night for the parents of special needs kids, the church hosts. And so they need people to come in because they need a lot of caretakers for the kids. So he and my mom went and like played ball with special needs kids and stuff for 2 or 3 hours so the parents could go out. And it just crossed my mind. Like, that didn't surprise me because I know my parents and my mom has been involved in those ministries for years. But I was just thinking about, I wonder what that must have looked like to the other volunteers there, that the guy who they knew as really the pastor of the church for 33 years is kicking a ball with a 22-year-old with Down syndrome for like an hour and a half and things like that. So that influenced me because it was basically a reminder of don't get too big for your britches. Nothing you do is that special, and you're not better than anybody else.
Is don't get too big for your britches going to be in the show notes?
I could find a link to the etymology if you were interested.
I'm going to be too busy studying the vexillology of...
You're vexing me is what you're doing with all of your flag studies. All right, fifth one. I'm going to try to keep this thing from completely derailing.
Yes.
All right, what is one lesson you have learned recently? So one thing that stands out in your mind that you have learned recently... I can go first if you're thinking.
Well, I mean, there's lots of stuff I've relearned, but you go ahead.
Well, yes. I mean, it's at this point in life, there are things to learn for the first time, but mostly it's sort of new degrees on old lessons. The thing that this is a constant for me. I am not a detail oriented person. I'm an idea person. Try to be as productive as possible, things like that. But I'm not a highly detailed person. But I learn over and over and over again, and I've had a couple reminders in the last couple weeks, the importance of detailed preparation and slowing down to focus on the details of the work, because otherwise things get missed, which most of the time are not a big deal, but sometimes they can cause embarrassment or just whatever. So we released a podcast not too long ago, and there was... I did not catch an edit that needed to come out, and it wasn't anything bad.
No.
It just was not something we would normally leave in the podcast.
No.
So nothing was said that anybody needed to apologize for, but I, as the one who am responsible for editing these things, had just sort of – I had missed handing that edit to the person who does the audio editing, and that was on me. And so those are just – it was just a little reminder of slow down, focus on the details, because – you know, the phrase that the old phrase says the devil is in the details. I would say excellence is often in, you know, is always in the details too. Like, you can have the best big idea, but if you don't execute it with detailed perfectionism, it's not.
You're never going to run out of good ideas.
Yeah. And it's,
you're going to run out of time.
So
execute well.
And then preparation is the other thing, you know, just it, and they go hand in hand, because preparation is a detail. It is a, it is slowing down to say, do I have my notes in hand? Do I have my packing list? Do I have whatever is needed for the task at hand to make sure that everything that I can humanly remember and handle is handled well. But so that's it for me.
Yeah. We did replace that episode. So.
Yeah, I mean, it's, if you went back and found it now, it would be, it would be edited, because I had, but I, it wasn't the first time. All right, Todd, lesson from
so
you.
It's just and so this was the question I wanted to ask you is is, what have you stopped doing recently?
What have I stopped doing?
So for me, a lesson I've relearned is.
I mean, kidding. I didn't ever do drugs, so I couldn't stop.
One of the things I've relearned recently is, I mean, everybody that listens to the podcast knows that it sounds like I have a pretty boring life, because I just continually cut things out, continue to cut things out. So I literally have not watched a sporting event in almost 2 years. I literally, and I'm not dogging anybody that does, because I have my issues and I have the stuff that I choose to do that, could be considered wasting time as well. So anyway, it is a reminder of prioritization and what am I gonna, like, what is having the most impact?
Yeah.
And what do I need to take out? What can I do to make myself more efficient?
Yeah.
Because, you know, we only have so much time to steward, and a big portion of that has to be with our families, and the rest of it is like ministry. So,
yeah. Well, no, in answer to your question of what have I stopped doing? It's a little bit like you were, it's sort of a constant. It's not like, oh, there was one big thing, like one habit that I had that I was like, I need to cut that out to be more productive or to be a better person. It is the, for me, work and social engagement overlap, because I spend a lot of time on social media, things like that, just on the internet, reading things, whatever. And that tends to spill over into things that I enjoy and regular life. But then that spills over into time I ought to be spending doing other things. So, for example, I'm trying to do that while I help my kids with homework or something. So it is the perpetual discipline of closing the laptop, putting the phone down, whatever it is, to stop doing those things for the block of time so that I can help them with homework or play a game with them or, you know, or read a book, because it spills into time when I, you know, I can actually go read books on paper instead of scrolling endlessly through Twitter or whatever. So it is the, it's the discipline of stopping at the right time so that I leave that block of time, you know, that block of time. So it's less about I need to stop doing that consistently, you know, or that one thing that I do all the time, and just and keep that framework in place.
It seems like every three or four months, I have to be reminded that, you know, wasted time with people isn't wasted time.
Right.
Wasted time on Pinterest or Twitter to some degree can be wasted time.
Listeners.
That's it, man. That's it. That's all of our questions.
That's it.
Do you have any random questions for me?
I don't think so. I think we're good.
All right.
I mean, I hope that was worthwhile for listeners.
I think it is.
All right. So,
it
listeners, if we recommended a resource that sounded interesting to you, go check the show notes. There are links to all of them. I mean, you can obviously find them on your own, but if that's easier for you. So lifeway.com/leadership, check that out. That is our website where we have it's where the podcast lives online. We have a blog there. We have some other additional resources. Go check that out. I mentioned the Pipeline Conference earlier. I'm just gonna push this again. Shameless plug for something that we put a lot of work into. If you missed that conference, or if you were there and you would like to get the videos from it, if you go to lifeway.com/pipeline, you can go purchase those videos as well. So the whole day's worth of videos. So Paul Tripp, Tripp Lee, Tom Rainer, Eric Geiger, and others. And it's all, so the full day for $60. And those are great for using with a church staff or leadership leadership team, a small group, any context where you want to work on developing leaders. And it's all built around the concept of developing your leadership pipeline for your organization. So go check those out as well. We really appreciate you tuning in and listening regularly. We thank you for sharing it on social and telling your friends. Our numbers continue to tick upwards, and we know that that means that you are helping us out, because we can't make that happen. So thank you very much. And we look forward to engaging you further in the future.
Yes.
So awesome. Have a great week and tune in next time.
Don't forget to try our free app on your phone or tablet. Just visit myleadershippipeline.com/app or search Lifeway Leadership in your preferred app store.